JFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Wasn't I talking?
You were, yes, talking and talking and talking.
Charlie's famous, like Elvis Presley.
I'm like Leopold of Belgium, usurped by his son before his time.
I suppose that makes me King Baudouin.
No. Next birthday, we'll get a dirty limerick.
I certainly hope so.
Ah, John.
Yes.
Dirty limerick.
Well, what have we here?
Look under my robe, Charlie.
See, and now it's Paul McCartney. Get jokes?
Uh-huh. I do.
Let's play the thing here.
They are lousy with VD. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, as it turns out, we've been very hot on the movie quiz show recently.
Yes.
As we just evidenced moments ago with the tape.
All right.
Mike, as we continue to go over the movie quiz show, you're fascinated with Charlie's dad.
Paul Scofield.
And I'm fascinated with Rob Morrow.
Right.
Let's now welcome Rob Morrow to the show. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the flattering comments.
No, you must know that this is a movie, and Rob is going to promote his show, NUMB8RS.
3RS.
Numbers.
Numbers.
But first, I have to tell you, we're like mental patients with the movie quiz show, and as I mentioned, your role in particular, man, I love it. I'm like a mental patient. When you're walking around with a cigar in your mouth in that little two-room apartment, your wife won't let you smoke in the room, and you're like, what's the capital of that? Hey,
and it's wild. My life imitates art. As we speak, I'm smoking a cigar up in my office, and my wife, if we're here, would be asking me to step outside.
Rob, where are you from originally?
I'm from New York, pretty much, Westchester.
Because they talk about the Boston dialect being very difficult. I know a lot of people. I'm from that area up there,
right?
And it's tough to get that. And you did it in a real subtle way, and it was really well done. It is a tough dialect to master, isn't it? Even if you're from New York, it's a very difficult dialect to master.
Thanks. I guess so. I mean, it wasn't that hard for me in that A, as you said, I'm from New York, so it's a region I'm familiar with. B, I went to school up in New Hampshire, so I was really familiar with it. And then C, I got to hang out with the guy, you know, the real Dick Goodwin. So, and I had tapes of him as a young man. So, you know, I have a pretty good ear, and I was able to kind of just dial it in, and they actually hired me a dialect coach as well.
I guess the biggest problem when you're doing that is so you don't slip into Pepperidge Fam remembers, you know? I mean, it's easy to do that.
The tricky thing in this case was not to slip into JFK, you know? That became...
That's right, that's right. Yeah.
So you've been in eight million things besides your TV show, but do you find that there are people like Mike and myself who are just stuck on quiz show? Whenever it comes on, I've got the DVD, of course, but whenever it comes on, I watch it. I watch it all the way through. We recite scenes. We've got stuff loaded.
The movie, they talk to, you know, it definitely fairly often someone mentions it. It's on TV a lot, and it's one of those movies kind of like The Godfather, I guess, that when people tune into it, wherever they are, they'll watch a little bit of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what have we here?
What have we here, Charlie?
I mean, I don't mean to equate it to The Godfather, but I mean, you hear, you know, for me, whenever you pass The Godfather on television, you just kind of watch it for even just a little while. It's like a great short story or something.
Would Northern Exposure, though, be what you're probably most recognized for still to this day?
I don't know. I mean, I guess so, but Numbers is...
Yeah, Numbers is now, so that's relevant.
Yeah, right,
so the younger generation knows Numbers. But, yeah, I mean, Northern Exposure definitely resonated in a big way.
And this is...
Now it's kind of having a new life on the HD network, I guess it's called, or the Universal HD network or something like that.
Right. Well, you got to know that my best buddy, Rob, has two kids at home. That's his excuse for watching TV on Friday night at home. I've got two kids that are married and out of the house, one of them, the other one's in college. I got no excuse for watching TV on Friday night. But he calls me up every week.
To watch Numbers.
Rob?
Rob? Yeah. Well, you know, you guys got TiVos, right?
Right. Sure.
Rob,
you can still go out.
Tell this guy how mental you are for Numbers.
From season one, Rob, I've never missed an episode. I think it's great. And the way I sell it to people, they always give me a weird look. I said, it's like CSI with math.
Right.
And I love it. I think it's great. And I think you're fantastic. And
Rob,
the whole cast is great.
Rob Spiewak, why don't you challenge Rob Morrow to some Numbers trivia to see how much you know.
Just remember what character I play. I don't play the math guy, so.
No, I know. You play Don Epps.
No, I don't.
Well, how are you at math, Rob? Are you good at math?
pretty bad.
Oh, good. Well, you're in, most actors are.
Don't give him like math questions. Give him questions about the show that you would know because you watch it all the time.
Yes.
Rob Spiewak.
Me question him?
Yes, you question him.
What is the model? I thought it would go the other way. What is the model of car that Peter McNichol's character drives?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. It's like a 30s. It's from the 30s. It's beautiful. I don't know.
I think it's a 36 Ford Roadster.
Now, you can't say you think.
Ford. That's funny. I did
want to say, be definitive.
It is a 36 Ford Roadster.
The thing is, hold on. I want to tell you. He's being polite.
Right.
He knows.
He knows.
Do you know?
Yeah, it is a 36 Ford.
It's
Rob,
a 36.
Rob
sorry.
Morrow, that's why it's turned around, because I guarantee Rob Spiewak knows more about your TV show than you do.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Give him one more, Rob.
Go ahead.
What is the degree that Tom Hanks' son character...
Oh, my God. What's the degree that Tom Hanks' son's character had?
Yeah.
What was he? He was a mathematician, too, so, No?
What is
well,
it,
he was, it was a mathematical doctorate. But,
all right. Well, so a PhD in mathematics.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
oh, now I got to say to Rob Morrow, come on, you got to step up, Rob.
I knew it had to do with math.
All right.
It didn't have to do with math.
It has to do with math.
How much of that stuff do you retain? I mean, one script to the next. Is it all jumbled around in your head? I mean,
does tend to become jumbled around. You know, some of the big theories register with me. You know, if they dovetail in things that are interesting me in life. You know, physics and stuff like that. But the actual storylines, they do tend to blur. Especially the crime stuff, because it's you know, sometimes I can't, you know, they'll tell me what show's coming up on the air, and I'll be like, wait, what was that one? It's there's so much minutia of detail that it's hard to kind of separate them.
No, you know, when I see the body of work that you have, you really say, I wonder about how much of it do you feel is luck, and how much of it, you know, are just choices. Do you take a tremendous amount of time selecting what you do? Because you have made some very intelligent choices in your career, and you've done some very, very good stuff. And I wonder how that works all the time with actors. You know, you always hear about actors getting scripts and deciding what to do. How did it work for you?
It's a little bit of both. I've also made a lot of stupid decisions, too.
Thank you,
Charlie. That obviously you don't know about. But
would you share one with us?
Let's see. The People versus Larry Flint, the Ed Norton part. I didn't want to play a lawyer, you know, again. There was a couple of those. I turned down Steven Spielberg once accidentally for a part in Jurassic Park 2, I think it was. I didn't really know I was turning him down, but I was kind of I waxed a bit ambivalence, which is in Spielberg land tantamount to saying no.
You got to dive right in when he asks you, right?
Right, exactly. It's like you not even question what it could be for.
Right.
What about the Nicholson movie that you're going to be in very soon?
Well, that was joint. You know, that first of all, I have no part in it. It's like I had a little part to begin with, and then I think even most of it got cut out, not because of me, but because of they cut out the whole big sequence. But I did it really because all my scenes were with Jack, and that was. You know, you'll see it and you'll say, what, he's barely in it, but I'll say it was one of the great experiences of my life because he's one of my heroes, and I worked with him every day, and he was in a hospital bed a lot of those days, tubed up. So between takes, he didn't want to get up. So I just would go, you know, I literally had like questions I'd write down the night before, and then I would subtly work them into conversations with him, and he would, you know, wax on about whatever, you know, Antonioni or whoever. And then actually acting with him and realizing that there were things he was doing that I had learned from him, and I was unconscious that's where I learned them from, was there's something about coming, you know, Redford. I worked with John Travolta on a project that never came to be, but all these people that had such an influence on me becoming an actor, then to be face-to-face with them as a peer is incredibly gratifying. It makes you think, you talk about choices and making the right choices, that somehow I've made the right choices in terms of finding myself where my, you know, where the fantasy was.
And Rob, how could I have forgotten this? Of course, I'm an Albert Brooks nut. And in the movie Mother, you play Albert Brooks's...
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. That's a phenomenal play. Well, that is so... You're so good in that.
When you're sitting in your Jerry Maguire-type office...
Oh, that's a great role.
Albert Brooks comes in, you got your memorabilia. Dude, you're talented.
That was fun, man.
I'll go a step further. You're the best thing in that movie. And there's some good performances in that movie, but you just play the mama's boy so beautifully.
Mom,
even when,
I want some of that cheese.
When you raise the voice up, I mean, that had to be it's got to be a lot of fun to work with Albert Brooks. It's gotta be a blast.
And he let me. We did a lot of ad libbing and kind of riffing and stuff. And he's pretty quick guy. So that was fun. That was a fun one. But again, there's an interesting example. I kind of at that point I had a lot of heat on me as an actor in the movies, and I almost said no because of the size of the part. But my agent, who I haven't gotten a lot of great advice from agents, but this particular agent was like, "Look, man, you're going to want to turn around in the end of your career and say you did a movie with Albert Brooks."
Right. Yeah.
And fortunately, I did. I went ahead. And
no ass. I mean, I'm telling you something. I'm sure you know. He's pretty brilliant.
Yeah,
he is
pretty darn brilliant. And and his last movie was underrated, and I thought it was terrific. Laughs in the Muslim World.
Comedy in the Muslim World. I agree.
Haven't seen it in its entirety. I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's very much Albert Brooks. If you love him, you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Rob, one more thing while you're on the line. May we please hear the Reuben sandwich scene?
Right.
And just let's just all bask in this for a moment. Here
okay,
it is.
Okay, very good. Here we go.
How are you, son? We share an office, and I never see you anymore.
Oh, I'm there, Dad. I'm just hiding behind your reputation.
No, I'm serious. We all miss you at home.
Please join us. Dad, this is Dick Goodwin. He's up from Washington.
Narrow escape?
Dad doesn't like Washington.
A swamp that traded malaria for politics. What's the special?
It's the Reuben.
Reuben sandwich is the only entirely invented sandwich. Won the National Sandwich Contest 2 years ago.
A salient point. Who invented it?
Reuben K. at a poker game in Omaha.
I knew there was a K in Nebraska.
Unfortunately, they have the sandwich here, but I don't seem to have any Reubens.
Touché.
Dick's a protege. I'm not biased.
I just finished a clerkship with Justice Frankfurter.
Of course you did. Frankfurter collects brains the way other people collect stamps.
Of course you did.
That's
scene.
That's bam, bam, bam. I mean,
how good is that dialogue? You know who wrote that? Paul Adonazio, who created the show, or co-created the show House, wrote that. And man, that is just hearing it again, just over the phone. It's such
that's
good
great.
Dialogue.
That, guy, that has to get you jacked up as an actor when you get dialogue like that. And you're going to be
so
in that
rare.
Scene.
Yeah, it's so rare, man. And Paul Scofield, who was like, he's just a Zen master. And I remember then, Rafe and I were so methody and focused, and there'd be Scofield just sitting there smoking his pipe, and they'd roll the cameras, and he just was so kind of groovy and smooth. And
yeah, he comes across that way.
I'll leave you on this note. Have you ever had, as we've had on this show, it played out many times, the thought that in the scene where he comes home and he has the piece of cake with his dad.
Here we go. It's always good to leave a guest with a bad taste in their mouth.
Well, hold on. Isn't this how we play the scene out?
Yes, that's true. We think there are tremendous homoerotic undertones in that scene.
Oh, you're kidding. I never saw
that. No, you have to live in our world.
Have the chocolate.
That's a classic scene, though.
I know it is, and we've just
hello.
Ruined it.
Dad.
Thank you.
Hello, Charlie. Would you like some chocolate cake? Look, my robe. Accidentally fell to the floor.
Dad,
Charlie,
slip me the answers. Rob, hey, listen, Rob, really, we're big fans. And very nice to have you on the show. Everybody watch Numbers. Friday night, 8 o'clock, 7
no,
central.
Friday night's 10 o'clock.
Oh, 10 o'clock,
I'm
that's
an idiot.
Right.
My apologies.
Rob will be there plastered in front of the TV on Friday nights, and everybody T-vote if you're going out, too.
Well, you guys are a pleasure. Thanks for the effusiveness, and have a good week.
It's very sincere,
very nice,
Rob. Good luck to you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
We got him just because we happened to be talking about him.
That's cool. That's very, very cool.
Very cool.
Thank you for mentioning Mother. He makes that movie. He absolutely – that movie, I swear to God, that even with Debbie Reynolds and Albert Brooks, that movie falls flat without that character of Rob Murrow. And Rob Murrow is the funniest part of that movie.
He plays it perfectly,
doesn't he?
Oh, his
mom!
Use the picture phone, Mom.
That's great.
Mom just pressed –
that's a good pull.
Hi, Mom.
I want to go back and watch that movie right now. I really do. Oh, and I love – and I watched a lot of Northern Exposure when it was on, too. He's really done some neat stuff. He has.
All right. He was good?
Good. Very good.
And we thank him for that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Good for you, Rob, that you were able to stump him with some of your own Numbers trivia.
Love that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hi. I just want to say something to Mr. Norton.
Mr. Norton, are you talking about Larry Flint's movie?
No, to who is Ed Norton?
Ed Norton, yes, who we were just speaking to. What would you like to say to Ed?
I want to say that I think he's hot and I'm not gay.
All right, well, we'll tell him. I'm glad you enjoyed Ed Norton on our show.
We'll send him a telegram.
Obviously, I have no clue what's going on.
Obviously. Yeah, really, you don't, and tremendously so. I mean, you're so far away from anything that we were doing. I don't know what's wrong.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Ed Norton was great on Northern Exposure.
Yeah, he was.
Ed Norton was great.
He was great on The Honeymooners.
Right.
He was on Rounders, too.
Yes, Rounders, fantastic role in Rounders.
Now, I'm sorry, Rounders. Rob Morrow was in Rounders, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And Rob Morrow also starred in American History X.
That's right.
Who's Rob Morrow?
And Rob Morrow worked with Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting.
That's right.
Tell Rob Morrow that I think he's hot and I'm not gay.
Very good, we will.
But we're not talking to Rob Morrow, we're talking to Ed Norton.
Tell Ed Norton that I think he's hot and I'm not gay.
Keep telling yourself that.
Okay. Very good. We got to book Ed Norton on the show now.
Hey, see you later.
All right, you guys rule. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thank God he didn't call when we had a guest.
Sure we do.
I love you.
Thank
you.
So
embarrassing.
All right, here's the Jimmy Kimmel stuff. Here's the transcript.
Okay.
We don't have a tape of it, but here's the transcript. Jimmy Kimmel walks into the booth, score, Giants ahead of Atlanta, 21-10.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he says, hey. Where's Joe Theismann?
That's fantastic.
Silence. Play. We're here with Jimmy Kimmel. Seriously, guys, where's Joe T?
that's the best part, that he's sticking with it.
Keeps pushing.
Saints are coming back in this game.
Right.
Dot, dot, dot. That's what somebody says. Then Jimmy Kimmel says, hey, Tony Kornheiser, Ron Jaworski, you guys bet on games?
Oh.
Again, Mike Tirico, 2nd and 3.
Good.
They're blitzing with the linebackers. Then Jimmy Kimmel. Hey, it was Kornheiser that got Theismann fired, right?
Oh, man.
And then ended his segment as they started to rush him out of the booth, ended it by saying, well, thank you for welcoming me. I'd also like to welcome Joe Theismann, who's watching this game from his living room with steam coming from his ears.
Wow.
At that point, the trio of Kornheiser, Jaworski, and Tirico ignored him.
Oh, really? So they don't even... Oh, come on. Well, you know, they're uptight. They're still in the state of uptightness.
And then here's Joe T. Joe Theismann was more amused than annoyed by Jimmy Kimmel's comments.
Good. Sure.
While he said he heard of while watching TV at home. But Joe missed other comments because he was watching CSI Miami.
Sure.
That's his new favorite show to watch on Monday night.
Hey, and don't think that's not calculated. Do not think that that is not calculated. Yeah, that is exact. I guarantee you Joe was watching the game. Rob, I guarantee he was watching the game.
Please Be a Love, we need that sound effects CD that has that eating and that other stuff
we used last time. Yeah.
You load that up right away?
That is too funny. Theismann's comment is funny on that. You know, whether he's watching it or not, even though I guarantee he wasn't, it's funny that he said he was watching CSI Miami.
And good for Jimmy Kimmel. And from ESPN, you know, tight asses can't have any fun, can't laugh at themselves.
Right.
But they do.
They do take themselves very seriously.
Let's not forget Stu Scott's poetry jam.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Here's what they had to say.
Uh-huh.
The executive producer of Monday Night Football, Jay Rothman, says that Jimmy Kimmel's comments were, quote, classless, disappointing, crude.
Oh, give me a break.
He is a cheap man. What? The more he went on, the worse he got. Jimmy Kimmel will never be invited back to Monday Night Football.
Oh, screw that guy.
Yeah.
Honest to God, get a life. Get a life. It's entertainment. I got news for you. It's entertainment.
That's right.
You got what it was? Yeah. Here we go, okay. No, that's not quite the one. We got to go through and find the long one. That might be it. Oprah's health problems. Now, let's not laugh here, boys.
Sorry.
A thyroid condition. Mm-hmm. Diagnosed recently.
Sorry.
It's taking a toll on Oprah.
I can't obey.
Oprah, who is usually well-coiffed, and radiant, appeared a bit haggard and heavier. Fans have been asking what's wrong.
What's wrong with Oprah?
What is wrong?
Oprah said yesterday...
Ah.
Yeah. Oprah then went on to say,
I'd like a piece of chocolate cake.
Well, what have we here?
Oprah, you're packing it on.
She says stress and overwork is the reason for this condition.
That's it.
That led to exhaustion, weight gain.
Yeah, that's it.
And an overall blah that's plagued her ever since.
Sure. Stress and overwork.
It is hugely important for her to get her life in balance.
Amen. Remember, it's stress and overwork.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right, Oprah?
Not the fact that you're eating Ben and Jerry's like it comes out of the tap.
You know, I watched one Oprah when they were doing a behind the scenes at Harpo Productions, and they had Oprah going down to the cafeteria. And, you know, Oprah always talks about the the diet Oprah? That she's on.
Right.
I think she might have been getting veal parm. I swear to God, that's what she was getting. Here she is now. Oprah, any comment on what's going on here?
You're well coughed.
Quaffed.
I know. I said that. You caught me the first. I said
well hacked.
I said that on purpose that time.
All right.
You're radiant.
You look like you put on a little extra weight.
And you look a bit haggard.
Do you have a comment on that?
Oprah Winfrey. Good segment with Jessica Seinfeld.
Oh, there's urgency in that eating.
You've upset her, perhaps.
I know. Yes, I know, darling. Fiber is important.
Hey, Oprah, it's not going anywhere, okay? Really? Boy, you want to snorkel? How do you feel about this? Now the wine.
Oh, wine. Oh, sweet wine. That one stinks. How about this one? Oh, that's okay. That one's all right. These are Oprah's comments.
Slurping.
How do you feel, Oprah?
Hold on a second. It misfired.
Oh, yes. Get the.
Get how's every that, last drop.
How's that soup?
Oh, yeah. Down the hatch.
Sure.
Down the hatch again. that means she's
the
finished.
End of the road.
Inevitable.
End of the Oprah road. She's got that one big one coming up.
Swallowed a lot of air.
Not that one. No. No, not that one.
One more.
Come on. There we go. That's it. That's the
good
one.
Interview.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, "C's are not allowed in this house."
That's right.
Oh. Daddy. Yeah, let it all out. Sign of a good meal. Isn't that right, Oprah?
Hey, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Rob Speedbump.
Don Geronimo.
Get your Jerry tapes ready.
Oh, yes! My God.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yes!
Wow.
This is not a promise. It's a warning. We're going to try to get to the Jerry Lewis telethon tapes when we come back.
Well, it's about time, Charlie.
Well, what have we here?
It's a penis.
Kiss me, Dad.
This is the Don and Mike Show.